The root word in assurance is the word sure. And that's what I want to focus on this morning in the message. I want to focus on to be sure. Be sure. There are some things in the world that we're not sure of. There's a lot of things in the media that I hear in the media, and I'm pretty sure that they're lying to me. There's times when they say things and I don't have any evidence of it, one way or another, but I can't trust them. I am sure that you can't trust them. There's enough going on in our world that proves to me that you can't trust them. But there's some things here in the Bible that tell us about how to be sure. And so I want to read just a few passages right here in Matthew chapter 27, starting with verse 62. And it says, "Now the next day that followed," this is after Jesus's after his crucifixion. It says, "Now the next day that followed, the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure," there's that word, "made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first." It amazes me that they made this statement, that the last error, that means that they made a mistake to start with. And they're right, by the way. But look at verse 65, and it says, "Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy, and what a blessing it is to read about this passage. And Lord, if Jesus had been just any man, this would have been the end of him. But Lord, I thank you that Jesus wasn't just a man. He was God in flesh. Lord, we just ask you to move in a special way and teach us some of the things in the Bible that teach us how to be sure. How to be sure about the things that you have made. And Lord, we just thank you for giving us an opportunity to come before you, and thank you for this blessed book. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need your help. I need you to fill me. I need you to speak for me. I need you to make sure that everything said glorifies and lifts up and honors Jesus. And Lord, if there's one here within the sound of my voice that's not saved, Lord, let them trust him. Let them put their trust in Jesus. For it's in that holy name, that mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, well, one of the first things I like about this particular story is the fact that even though the disciples did not understand that Jesus said he was going to rise from the dead, his enemies did. And one of the things I'm glad of is the fact that they understood it to a point where they were going to actually put a watch there so that it proves that the disciples did not steal the body of Jesus. If it had just been there and without the soldiers there, guess what? They wouldn't have had witnesses to prove that the stone was rolled away by the angel and not the disciples. But I'm glad the fact that it says here, and I personally believe that Pilate had some doubts as to whether they could secure that tomb anyway. That's why he said, make it as sure as you can. It's almost like a cynical statement in the fact that he said, you can do the best you can, but I'm not sure you're going to be able to succeed in your efforts. And so what we see is the fact that he's saying something here and about them making it sure. But you know, and I know, they couldn't keep Jesus in the grave. They weren't going to keep him in the grave. He said he was going to be in the grave how long? 3 days and three nights. Not a minute more. He wasn't going to be there a fourth day or a fourth night or longer than that. Because everything Jesus says is absolutely true and perfect. And so I want to focus on some things that men tried to make sure. Just like this tomb, they tried to make this tomb sure so Jesus couldn't leave. But I want you to remember, Pharaoh tried to make sure that the Israelites didn't leave Egypt too. But he failed miserably, didn't he? He would have been better off to have let the Israelites go when God first mentioned for them to leave and let my people go. And well, I think it would be good if he had a brain and knew the Lord, but it was his pride that got in the way. But he couldn't secure the Israelites. I want you to think about it. David, God saved David's life. The devil was trying to kill David. And I want you to think, started off with Saul, didn't end with Saul. Saul died. Well, started off actually with Goliath trying to kill him, and the bear and the lion tried to kill him before Goliath. They couldn't kill him. Then Saul tried to kill him. He couldn't kill him. His own son, Absalom, tried to kill him. Absalom couldn't kill him. Why? Because God had a plan. God was secure. He was going to take care of David. David was as sure as if he was in God's hand personally. And that's one of the things that you and I need to realize. Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. When you got saved, when you trust Jesus, you're as sure as if you're in heaven already, because you're in Jesus' hand. And then if that's not enough, Jesus goes on to say, and the Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Good grief. One is good enough to keep me secure, but I've got the Father's hands over Jesus' hands, and I'm inside. You want to talk about being sure? Can't get any better than that. But I want you to think about it. In Numbers chapter 32, let's go there right quick. I remember this passage from my upbringing. I was raised, I had godly Christian parents and Christian grandparents on both sides. And I remember hearing this so many times. I've been able to quote it even before I knew where it was in the Bible. And I passed it on to my children. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23 says, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Good grief. I can't tell you how many times I heard that from my parents and my grandparents. I can't tell you how many times I told that to my kids. And I want you to know, it's absolutely true. Be sure your sin will find you out. You're not going to get away with anything. God's going to punish us for every sin. Oh, I know that if you're saved, it's under the blood. But there are temporal consequences, earthly consequences to every sin. We might not see it, but the Bible says you reap what you sow, right? It goes on to say, actually, the entire verse says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And what that verse is saying is if we ever get away with sin anywhere in our life, then we have grounds to mock God. But that's why those first three words are there. Be not deceived. Because nobody's ever going to be able to mock God. Because nobody's ever going to get away with anything. Now, I'll be honest with you. I like those blessings that come from doing right. A whole lot better than those curses for doing wrong. But the Bible says right here in Numbers chapter 32, it says, be sure your sin will find you out. But there's some other things that the Bible says be sure of. Let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. If you know a little bit about this event that's taking place here, this is where Jesus was talking to the people, and so many people misunderstand this. He was using typology about him, his body being eaten and his blood being drank, and all he was doing was talking in a spiritual sense, not a physical sense. Some people, because they don't understand the typology, they say, well, Jesus was teaching them to be a cannibal. No, no, no. He was right there. When he told the disciples at the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper, what happened? He gave them, he said, he broke off a piece of bread and gave it to them. He said, this is my body. That's a type. That's what he was saying. He didn't break off a finger and give it to him. And here in this particular passage, Jesus is letting them know that some of them had trouble understanding the type and what he was trying to get across. And so they left him. I feel so bad for those people that don't understand what Jesus is saying. And instead of trying to stay and stick it out and find out what he's saying, they leave. They turn their back on him. But here in verse 69, this is where Jesus is, actually verse 67, after the other disciples left. And by the way, it's interesting. I know that some people don't like this, but God may well have been in control, and I believe he was, in the numbering of the verses and the chapters, because this particular verse, verse 66, it says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And what is the verse? John 6, verse 66. You've got the 666. They walked back and they turned back from Jesus. But look at verse 67 and following, and it says, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure. There's that word again. By the way, I'm sure that this truck's going to hold me up, or I wouldn't be up here. Amen? And he says, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. See, there's some things that you and I need to make sure of. We need to make sure that we understand who Jesus really is. There are a lot of people that say he's a good man. I'm going to tell you, he could not possibly be a good man because he called himself the Son of God. Either he was who he said he was, or he was delusional, or he was a deceiver. But he cannot be just a good man. And so what we need to understand is Peter understood here, and he said, we not only believe this, we're sure that you're that Christ, the Son of the living God. And he understood that they weren't going anywhere else because Jesus was the only one that had the words of eternal life. But let's go somewhere else and see what the Bible says. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter 1. This is a great passage to help us understand the value of the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And I want you to understand, I'm not going to give you all the context here, and I'm not going to read the whole verse, but what we need to see is the fact that Peter's talking about the fact that we were on the, he was saying that he was an eyewitness of being on the mountain with Jesus. Remember, Peter, James, and John were on the mountain with Jesus when Moses and Elijah came down and met with Jesus. And also, what happened? God the Father spoke. And I like what it said to Peter. Peter was talking. If you study it out, I'm not going to go there, but Peter was talking. And what he did was, the Bible says that while Peter was talking, God the Father interrupted him. You know, sometimes we do too much talking. And what we do is we're not listening when we're talking. I have a problem sometimes that way. But I will tell you, there are times we need to just shut up, Brian, and listen. But here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says, even more, there's something more valuable than even being with Jesus all those years that Peter was with him. Even being up on the mountain and hearing the voice of God Almighty speak. What he's saying is, look at verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. What's he talking about? He's talking about your King James Bible. He's talking about the fact that we've got the Old Testament prophecies. We've got the Old Testament fulfillment of the prophecies. You know, there's a lot of different prophecies in the Bible. Some of them have been fulfilled. Some of them, which is what I'm going to preach on at 10:30 inside, some of them are being fulfilled even today. And some of them have yet to be fulfilled. But the Bible says right here, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. More than what? More than standing there on the mountain and hearing God the Father speak. More than standing there and watch Jesus counsel and give counsel to Moses and Elijah. And that's your Bible. Because we see what's going on. We see what's going on in our society and in our country today. And we see the Bible being fulfilled. And people say, well, you still believe that Bible? Look what's going on in our world. Hey, it's just telling me that the Bible's true because I've been reading about this stuff that's going to happen and I'm watching it happen even now. So not only am I sure, like the disciples, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, but I'm also sure about this blessed book. Psalm 19, we're not going to go there, but Psalm 19 verse 7 says, the testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. You want to be wise? You stick with the book. You follow the book. You study the book. You apply what you learn from the book. And the Bible says that will make you wise, even if you're a simple-minded person. There are some people I've not always been, a lot of times I'm not necessarily as nice as I probably should be. I have a way, and Brother Don will understand, we grew up at working at the mines, and those guys were pretty rough, and they answered you rough, and you had to answer back rough. And there are times when people say, they'll ask me a question, and I'll say, well, I can't read your mind no matter how simple-minded you are. And doesn't go over well. And I've tried to avoid that anymore. But I want you to understand, if you're simple-minded, and you should be, until you get to the book. And when you start studying the book, the Bible says the testimonies of the Lord are sure, absolutely, positively solid. They're not going to change. They're secure for eternity. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. I can tell you right up front, anybody that thinks this book is foolish, the Bible calls them simple. They're not wise at all. But I want to go one more place. Let's go to 1 John, right towards the back of the Bible. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. This is a great passage for a number of reasons. I love verse 7. And by the way, that verse 7 is a good place to test any Bible. Because a lot of the bad Bibles, that's where they're going to mess up, if they mess up anywhere. Look at verse 7. It says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word," that's Jesus, "and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." I can guarantee you that when we bought this old Kingdom Hall, they did not teach that verse that way. Their Bible was changed. That verse is not in their Bible that way. They do not believe in God being three persons, yet being one God. You say, well, how can that be? If you understand it, explain it to me. Okay? The Bible's... Well, let me ask you this. If God saves a sinner, and He takes a sinner who puts faith in Jesus and calls on Jesus for salvation, exactly how is it God changes that sinner from on their way to hell to on their way to heaven? I don't understand that either. There's a lot of things about God I don't understand. But I know that I know that I know that it's true. And we're going to look at another verse. Look at verse 13. We'll read verse 11 through 13 that says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." That's eternal life. Look at verse 13. This is where a lot of people mess up. And it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Now, the word "sure" isn't in there in that passage, but when it says that ye may know, that tells me I can be sure. You see, the Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life," there in verse 12. And then verse 13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know ye have eternal life." I'm glad salvation is not a hope-so. We were talking to people yesterday, knocking doors. So many people say, well, I hope I go to heaven. or I think I'm going to go. Praise God, yesterday I was asked a lady if she was going to go to heaven, and she turned right around and said, yes. And I said, why? She said, because I'm saved. And then she turned around and said, are you sure you're going to heaven? Hey, I like it. I like it when people are concerned enough about me to ask me too. There haven't been near as many as should. But I'm glad right here that the Bible tells us that we can be sure. We can be sure that we can go to heaven. We can be sure without any doubt. Once you call on Jesus, the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can't get any more sure than that. Jesus says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You can't get any better than that. Jesus gives a no-so salvation. He doesn't give a hope-so salvation. He says right here, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm glad I don't have to worry about trying to keep my salvation. You see, if I have to worry about keeping my salvation, I'm not going to be able to be much good to helping the Lord get other people saved, because I'm going to be worrying about me. But I'm glad I've got me settled, and I'm sure on the authority of the Word of God. Let me ask you, are you sure? The Bible says we can be sure. We can be sure of eternal life. We can be sure that we miss the lake of fire. But it only comes one way. It only comes through trusting Jesus. It only comes through trusting Him and Him alone. No works, no church membership, no baptism, no sacraments. None of that's going to help you get to heaven. It's only by putting all your trust, all your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that it's not according to men trying to secure my salvation. I'm glad it's not according to me, because I couldn't keep it either. Just like they tried to secure the tomb that Jesus was in and couldn't do it. You try to secure your own salvation, or I try to secure mine, we're not going to be able to do it. But I sure am glad that Jesus said he was going to be in the grave, what? 3 days and three nights? And he was sure that was all he was going to be there. He wasn't going to be there a minute longer. Are you sure that you know Jesus? Are you sure? Because you can be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, we thank you for the blessed book that we're sure of. We thank you that we can be sure of the fact that Jesus is who he said he was and is. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world. I'm glad that we can be sure of this blessed book that we read from and study and live by. And Lord, I thank you that we can be sure that we're saved based on the Word of God. Lord, we ask you to move in a special way. Touch the hearts of these as we give a short invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you don't know for sure you're saved, I want to give you an opportunity to trust Jesus. It's nothing you can do except call on Him. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I'm going to lead you through a simple prayer. If you're not sure, then you can make it sure today. I know the devil doesn't like what we're doing right now, because that's why he's sending the train through right now. But guess what? He can't hinder what God does. So I'm going to lead you through a simple prayer. If you want to get saved and you're not sure, I want you to pray with all your heart. Pray unto Jesus with all your heart. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I don't deserve to go to heaven. But Lord, you said I could go. And you made a way for me to go. So as honest as I can be, with all my heart, I beg you, Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins and save me and make me what you want me to be. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Help me to live for you and tell others how to get to heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you meant that and you prayed that from your heart, Jesus did something special, and you can be sure that you'll be in heaven. All right, that concludes our service.